This podcast is presented by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, Safer, Healthier People.
Hello, I'm Ted Pastorius. With me today is Dr. Marion McDonald, Associate Director of Health Disparities at the National Center for Emerging and Zoonotic Infectious Diseases at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. We're talking about two papers in the August 2010 issue of CDC's journal, Emerging Infectious Diseases. The first paper covers a 2009 H1N1 surveillance in marginalized populations in Tijuana. And the second paper covers West Nile virus knowledge among Hispanics in San Diego County. Welcome, Dr. McDonald.
Thanks, Ted. It's great to be here.
These papers focus on two very different diseases, influenza and West Nile virus. I'm curious, what do the articles have in common?
You're right, Ted. The pandemic H1N1 influenza virus of 2009 and West Nile virus are very different pathogens that are transmitted in different ways. Influenza is an airborne illness spread from person to person, while West Nile is vector-borne and carried by mosquitoes. But the papers aren't just about the diseases. They describe research done in communities that are geographically quite close. Tijuana, Mexico, shares a border with San Diego County. Both studies look at public health efforts involving groups of people that are often described as hard to reach due to factors such as language barriers or homelessness. I've often said, though, that hard to reach can be a misleading phrase.
What do you mean?
Public health professionals say hard to reach, which implies the problem lies with the population being targeted, when the actual problem may be that we are hardly reaching the people who need our help because we're using ineffective or inappropriate methods or technologies. One thing I really liked about the West Nile virus study is the authors used a door-to-door survey and in-person interviews. The researchers not only identified how much knowledge about West Nile virus people in the community had, but how they had attained that information to begin with. The researchers mentioned, for example, that the county health department had a website and was using social networking sites to provide information about West Nile virus. However, and not surprisingly, most people interviewed said that television or radio was their major source of information, not the internet.
Why do you say that isn't a surprise?
The West Nile virus awareness study focused on Hispanics, and traditional media, particularly radio, is extremely important in Spanish-speaking communities. This paper is a good reminder that we in the public health profession have an obligation to communicate with people on their own terms and to use the media people have the widest access to.
That's very interesting, Dr. McDonald. Was there anything else that stood out in these papers?
The West Nile virus study found that more women than men were adopting personal preventive behaviors such as using insect repellent or making sure window screens were in place. I found that intriguing and would have liked to have seen more. It's good to know, as the authors state, that women might be the appropriate audience for intervention strategies, but we also need to find out why women are apparently getting the message about West Nile virus and men aren't.
What would you say is the overall public health significance of these two studies?
There is no one-size-fits-all when it comes to public health communication. There's often a temptation to think we have to use the latest, newest technology or media, and to forget that the people we need to reach may not have access to or be comfortable with that particular medium. The truth is that varied approaches are always going to be necessary. We need to remember to be both flexible and willing to use an older, less high-tech medium if it's the one that's likely to be most effective.
Thank you, Dr. McDonald. I've been talking with CDC's Dr. Marion McDonald about two papers appearing in the August 2010 issue of CDC's journal, Emerging Infectious Diseases. You can see both articles online at www.cdc.gov/EID. If you'd like to comment on this podcast, send an email to eideditor@cdc.gov. That's eideditor, one word, @cdc.gov. I'm Ted Pastorius for Emerging Infectious Diseases.
For the most accurate health information, visit www.cdc.gov or call 1-800-CDC-INFO 24/7.